What's up, Rundown Nation? I'm Woj.
And I'm Wall.
And this is the College Football Rundown with Woj and Wall. Surprise, surprise. We got through week one. We survived. Not every team did, but we survived, Wall.
Not every college football fan did either, Woj. There's some of us that were reeling. Not me, but some name I will not name that was reeling after watching some college football. Not ready. Not, you know, I will say in the offseason, some people were not getting ready, you know, getting prepared for that full day of college football, and it showed, Woj.
I didn't make it to that part of the night, but I think I've heard stories.
Stories.
Well said. I'll just leave it at that. All right. Moving on. It is now college football season. People are starting to get prepared. DraftKings League is definitely one of those. It was an exciting finish. I was in the top until Braylon Allen decided he wanted to go ham at the end of the Wisconsin game. J.M. Doof will take the win this week with 152.06 coming from behind at the end, due in part to the Braylon Allen pick from Wisconsin. He also took Shadir Sanders, the quarterback from QB Primetime's son there. So ended up 74.80 points between the two of them for 183 per point. That was well done. Colorado did really whip up on TCU there. John Dupler finished second with 150.86 and myself in third with 142.96. This week will be the DraftKings 13 game main slate. And I do remind people we are now live. So get your 8 games in now so you can start kicking out some bad ones later in the season. I know some people will. Well,
yeah, I'm looking forward to kicking out
those last ones.
I'm looking forward to kicking out some bad ones. Although week zero did not count, right? That was just a practice.
Week zero's practice round. So that last week we just did right there, week one, that counted. So JM Doof off to a good start with his first. I am looking to go top three all season. Well, I want to talk about myself every week for the rest of the season.
No, not you. Well, not you talking about how well you're doing at daily fantasy. I will say Doof got lucky because if you watch that Wisconsin game, Braylon Allen did not look so good in the first half. And I shouldn't say he didn't look so good. He wasn't getting the bulk of the carries. You know, Malusi got the bulk of the carries, but then he did turn it around, and that's probably what covered the win there for Doof.
Yeah, I thought it was the curse of Michael Story, which we've talked about before. He's always had those Wisconsin quarterbacks, and for whatever reason, they never give him the ball to get in the end zone. And Malusi, yeah, he started strong, and then finally Braylon Allen turned on the Jets in the second half there and propelled J.M. Doof to a victory from behind. He was well behind, and then shot up there. It was crazy. But there were some good games. We can't go without talking about some of the games from last week, Wall. We're going to talk about them again this week, I think. But Colorado just beat up TCU there 45-42. Didn't expect that. Two teams that didn't play very good defense. But, I mean, the primetime team looked primetime. Well, it looked good. For offensively, I'll say that.
Well, you're not going to hear me talking too highly of Colorado. They did not look good, in my opinion. Yes, they beat TCU. They came through with a game that, you know, they should not have won, according to a lot of people. They're 20-point dogs, and they ended up winning straight up. But they have no defense, Woj. And if anyone that listens to our program will hear me say time and time again, you need a defense to be great in college football. So, yes, much better team than anybody anticipated. Very good offense. Absolutely, no question. But I'm very interested in this week's Nebraska-Colorado game. Hopefully, we have some time to talk about it.
No, I'm sure we will. Another game with Oregon trying to go for 100 points, scored 81 over Portland State. I bet Brian Ferentz really wishes he was on Oregon because he'd be a lot closer to that 372 or how many ever points he put on the whole season total, Wall.
He would be. And, I mean, Oregon, yeah, they played a fantastic game. I was not watching most of that game. I was getting constant updates from a man who is a Ducks fan, so I had no choice but to receive said updates. But he was very happy with the score. It was a question of, at one point they were, I don't know, they, I'm sure they turned off the lines towards the end of the fourth quarter. At one point they were minus 70 live lines, Woj, minus 70 for a college football team. I'd never seen that before, and yes, they covered that minus 70, which is just absolutely incredible.
Another one was the Sunday night game, which was the big one. That was LSU versus Florida State, and LSU ended up losing that one 45-24. While I was watching this game, and in the first half, I was like, this is kind of over. LSU had control defensively all over Jordan Travis and Florida State. Jordan Travis, by the end of the first half, looked like a deer in headlights. Like didn't know what to do. He was throwing picks. He couldn't control himself. And then they get to the second half, and man, I give all the props in the world to the coaching staff of Florida State, because that's basically what broke the game for LSU was the coaching staff. The game plan in the second half, just a lot of off the ball movements, a lot of movements on the line, a lot of shifts, and it allowed Jordan Travis to do Jordan Travis things. And man, maybe I was wrong, but Coleman looked outstanding in that second half. And we already know Jordan Wilson is going to be a great wide receiver in the NFL. But man, Coleman, 1-2 punch there was awesome for Florida State. But man, LSU and their coaching staff, I mean, just their coaching staff needs to take a look in the mirror and figure out what the hell's going on here. Well, they just got out coached.
Well, they did, and it didn't look good for LSU. This is, I would say, definitely top five in the most surprising outcomes of this weekend. Probably number two or three. Colorado, clearly number one for most surprising outcome. You know, Clemson, Duke, maybe that number two spot. And then this one sitting there at number three. I did not expect that LSU would. And not only did they lose it in the second half, Woj, like they were done in the second half. You know,
bad. It was
yeah, they were done. They weren't going to win that football game. Florida State was just a better team there in the second half. It really surprised me, something I was wrong on. It is one of the ones I lost money on this weekend. It happens, but still going forward, we'll see how LSU, this is a good football team. I like what you said in the season previews when we did those season previews about Florida State and all that talent that they had gotten, because you saw that on Sunday night. You saw that new talent come and contribute to that football team, help them beat that LSU team. But we will see what LSU does going forward in the season.
Yeah, I was talking to a Michigan State fan, and he was telling me he was watching that game. And he was looking at Coleman catching those touchdowns that he was. I think he got three. And he's like, man, it'd be nice to have a wide receiver like that on my team. And then he finally saw the name, and he put two to two together. And it's just like the facepalm moment when you're just like, uh-oh. Yeah, we did have him.
Yeah, but at the time he was in the Big Ten. So
yeah, the different story there. But yeah, Florida State outcoached. They looked great. It did look, everything looked like it meshed enough to maybe make myself eat my words, which I said I didn't really necessarily believe in the giant transfer portal, Florida State, and everybody's hype. But man, they looked good, and they definitely have the coaching to go with it. Another one, this was the Monday night game, while was Duke taking out Clemson 28-7. And everything that could have gone wrong for Clemson went wrong. Here's the start of the second half. Missed field goal, fumble inside the 10, and then fumble inside the 10. I mean, that's your first four possessions of the second half. That's a bad day, Wall.
It is a bad day. And that's, you know, something that's completely unexpected out of a Debo Sweeney team. I mean, he's a good football coach, Woj. I'm not huge on Clemson. I do think Mr. Sweeney is a good football coach, though. Dabo Sweeney, excuse me. And I did not expect that Clemson would come out like that in the first game of the year. I expected they would play a lot better. I'm not, you know, incredibly, like, flabbergasted that Duke won this football game, but how Duke won this football game by three touchdowns. I mean, come on. That no one had expected that.
And like, if you're watching the game, you wouldn't have expected to be that out of control, because Clemson was continually getting to the red zone, but they just couldn't put the ball in the end zone, and they kept giving Duke back the ball. And oh God, it was a mess there, especially in the second half for Clemson. I almost felt bad, especially after the fourth straight turnover in the red zone. So yeah, that was surprising. And we saw DJ Uiagalelei with Oregon State do pretty well. I mean, Kid Klubnik did well for the most part, other than the turnovers. But yeah, I mean, it was interesting to see Clemson go down in a way like that, especially being at home. of all, or actually, no, that was at Duke. I remember making a comment how the Cameron Crazies have come out to Duke for football now. So it's, they've come to support the football team.
I love it, Wojan. I love that you brought up Ugulele, because that's my man over there in our season-long fantasy. And he had a fantastic, fantastic week, but could not pull me through with the win.
No, yeah, it happens, Walt. It happens. All right, moving on. We got the games this week. First, we're going to talk about that Nebraska at number 22, Colorado. 11 a.m. on Fox. I'm actually interested to see when the last time Colorado was ranked, but yeah, it's just one of those games. I think the line is at 3, Colorado giving 3 to Nebraska, Wall, right?
Yeah, they are. It's -3. Colorado is the favorite in this one. You're talking about -155. If you want to lay it on those Buffalo, you want Nebraska, you're getting a little money back in your pocket. Best line right now, sportsbettingintel.com is showing me +140 over there on Caesars. Over under of 59 in this football game, Woj. I don't know. I mean, you watched week one with Colorado. You got a couple people in DFS from that team.
I mean, Sanders for sure is one of those guys to look at, but as far as wide receivers go, it's tough because, I mean, you have Hunter, Horn, Weaver, Edwards, Harrison. I mean, a lot of people split that ball up and they split points up as well in touchdowns. I think your best one there is Edwards, which is the running back. He's only 6,500, scored 46 points last week. That's Dylan Edwards. Most of which was from passes. He didn't get a bulk of anything, really. He only caught 5 passes and only rushed 6 times, but a guy managed to almost get 150 points or 150 yards and 4 touchdowns. So, I mean, that's what ends up doing it for you there. but Sanders for sure. I mean, he was kind of the highlight of the team. But at 9,400, that's going to be steep. I think what you're looking at here, Walt, is on the other side of this. Colorado's going to have to play a pretty good defense. Nebraska played a good defense last week in Minnesota. And I know Nebraska couldn't get anything going as far as on the ground. I mean, 2 of their running backs had awful performances, combining for only 7.2 DraftKings points, which isn't good. But Jeff Sims, the quarterback, he's only 7,200. Colorado gave up 262 yards last week, and Sims ran by himself against Minnesota, a tough Minnesota defense, for 91 yards on 19 attempts. So he didn't get any touchdowns in those, but I think he gets some touchdowns this week, especially on the ground, and that's kind of what you're looking for in DraftKings. So I don't think Jeff Sims is an awful play at 7,200. He's a lot cheaper than the other side of this, and I actually think he can score more than Sanders in this game, Wall.
I respect what you're saying. I like Sims, too. I don't know that I'll put him over there on my DFS. I'll have to see what I got going for my team. But Edwards, you mentioned a man that, you know, he scored all his points from those touchdowns. He had 3 receiving touchdowns and 1 rushing touchdown, I believe. It's kind of random, you know, if you end up getting that touchdown. So many times we see, for example, a running back or something break off an 80-yard run, tired, they bring in the second string running back, he gets the touchdown. You know, those things are more random, in my opinion. So I kind of like to, when I'm making my selections, go off of the person that had the most receptions or the most yards or something along those lines, the less random getting those touchdowns. I think this game is going to be very interesting. I mentioned that Colorado was the favorite now at -3. They were the dog last week before they beat TCU. They were 8, 9, 10 point dog, depending where you're looking. Obviously things have swayed completely. I took them actually right after the game Saturday night. They were at -2.5. So unfortunately, I did not beat the line. I lost to the line now. I thought some sharps would come in and start, you know, betting this Nebraska team, getting that line a little bit up. And I thought I'd get a number at that, good number at that 2.5. That was not the case. I can get the same number now at 3, which that's a big number, a field goal, full field goal versus the 2.5. I'm really interested in this game. One thing I found very fascinating last game, Colorado, they were not favored to win that game at all until the fourth quarter with about 4 minutes left. They got that fourth down. That was the first time in the game that the linesmakers had them favored. Whereas if you watch that football game, you watch how it transgressed, it was kind of a, you know, they had a 50-50 shot throughout the whole game, but the linesmakers were not giving them respect. I think that changed. I think it got a little bit too overhyped. So I'm definitely leaning on Nebraska. Maybe when we get to the Wojan Wall pick 'em, you'll see how much.
Yeah, I just don't tell primetime that in the press conference. Well, he'll bite your head off like he did last
Yeah,
week.
well, he's got a big mouth on him. That's
but
for
you
sure.
made a good point. I mean, Edwards hit 17% of the carries. Sure, he did catch some passes, and that's a big part of it. But Savion Wilkinson is the guy that had the most carries on the team at 38%. They had another over 30 as well, but he only scored 10 points. But he's only 4K. So, I mean, if they go with him again, I mean, that's a cheap way to get into this game for a guy that carried it a lot. He just needs to get some touchdowns. But I honestly think here that Nebraska is a much tougher of a front line than TCU, in my opinion. And I think the numbers are going to come down to a more average this week for Colorado, maybe not to the rest of their competition, but what we normally would see in college football, I think numbers wise. So no, I actually kind of like the Jeff Sims pick, and I might go with it, but we'll see. But while we got other games to talk about, another exciting game, Walt, in the second week we'll be talking about our beloved Hawkeyes. That's Iowa at Iowa State, 2:30 p.m. on Fox, Walt.
It's a big game, and it's not very often that we on the rundown get to talk about the Hawkeyes, you know, 2 weeks in a row. So I'm glad you brought that up. We're talking about our Hawkeyes right here being the favorite, you know, no contest across all the books. They are the favorite, sitting -4 right now. Looks like the best line on Caesars. You want Iowa State? You want to bet the enemy? You know, I don't know. There's some idiots out there. Let me tell you, +164 is the best line. It's over there on DraftKings. You want the Hawkeyes? The best line is -182 on FanDuel right now. Total in this one, Woj. Total in this one. Are you ready?
Oh, over, I'm ready.
Over under 36. I'm hammering that over. I'll just say right now, I'm hammering that over. They looked real good. Iowa looked real good. I know you probably didn't catch the game. You probably were, you know, watching Desperate Housewives or something over there.
Yeah.
Iowa came out quick. They came out fast. They scored two touchdowns in just a couple of minutes, like some kind of Ole Miss football team. You know what I'm saying, Woj?
Yeah, no, it looked really good. Obviously, probably a little scripted from practices and whatnot, but what they did was awesome. They looked composed and steady, and I didn't expect that at all. So I was actually kind of excited. I think it fell off a little bit in the second half. I actually didn't get to see the second half, but from what I've heard, it kind of fell off a little bit. A lot of punts, a lot of drop balls, but. I am excited about this game. Iowa State beat up University of Northern Iowa last week. Hunter Deckers is still out, but he did just plead guilty to the game. I don't know. Most of you know the gambling scandal, but he did plead guilty to underage gambling. I don't know what that'll do. They fined him, but I don't know what the NCAA will do. I doubt he'll play in this game. Maybe he pled guilty so he could play, but I doubt that's the case. So we probably won't see him, which is I'm just saying Iowa State's best player, but Iowa looked pretty good. I'm excited to watch this game to see another iteration here of McNamara, and from what I saw from him, he looked really composed, one of the more composed quarterbacks out of all of them. I'll say this, he looked more composed than the Ohio State quarterback, who only threw bullets to his receivers. I mean, McNamara was floating balls where he needed to. There was one, a fade route to the end zone, where he literally put the ball in the guy's chest. I don't think the Iowa receiver was used to something like that, though. So he was kind of scrambling around trying to find the ball, and he ended up not catching it. But it was good to see. It was cool to see. McNamara is definitely better than anything we've had in a long time. As far as DraftKings goes, there's guys I would consider in this game. Luke Lakey, who is the tight end for Iowa, he's only 4K. I mean, it's cheap. He got the most targets out of Iowa last week in 7. He had 7 receptions. We all know that, you know, tight ends are a staple. They used Eric All at the beginning of the game, I think, for a touchdown, but still Lacey ended up with more points overall. It's just a nice way to get involved in the game that – I actually think, I mean, 27% of the reception carries or excuse me, targets is pretty good number. So at 4K, sure, give it to me. If I needed in my, you know, I need that little gap in my roster, I'm taking that wall.
I like it. One thing you mentioned throughout that rambling of yours, Mr. Woj.
Sorry.
Two things, actually. Let me tell you. One, some of us fans are watching that Iowa football game throughout the entire football game. You know, we caught that second half, but you were absolutely right that Iowa did not play great in the second half. What really worried me is Utah State started coming at our defense, and we still had the first line in there. That's a little bit worrisome. McNamara, good quarterback compared to past quarterbacks we've had, past couple of years anyways, great quarterback. He did miss some passes I wasn't too happy about. The thing I want to mention is, I've heard this, you know, throughout the week. We listen to a lot of college football talk. Mr. McCord over there at Ohio State, everybody's mentioning what a bad game he had. Yeah, he didn't do so great. You know, he didn't have a fantastic game, but still he had 239 yards. Oh, geez, 20 for 33. That's, you know, it's not bad. We have to remember that Ohio State's not going to just trounce people left and right. But I do want to get back to this Iowa State game. I am going to look to hammer the over here. I'm going to take an alternate line on it. I'm going to take over 38.5. I can get that at +125 on DraftKings right now. Well, I can't. They don't take my money, Woj, but I can get it at BetRivers at +123, which is the second best alternate line for this that is showing over here on sportsbettingintel.com. That's something I do think that they're going to continue that success. They had the first couple drives last game against Utah State. I'm hoping it happens anyways. I think this is probably, you know, Iowa 40, Iowa State 0. So that 38.5 over comes in.
All right. I like it. It's a low number. I mean, but it is an Iowa game, and it is an Iowa versus Iowa State. But I like the over coming in. I like that, especially taking Luke Lacy there. We'll see. One of the better games for Saturday to watch is our next one. That is number 20, Ole Miss, at number 24, Tulane, 2:30 p.m. on ESPN2. Ole Miss tried to keep up with what Oregon did to Portland State. Yeah. They scored, I think, 74 last week. Couldn't quite get to that 81 number Oregon did, but they looked good. Wall didn't play all their starters, but Question Judkins, I'm sure, is going to be a big impact. He's 8,100 on DraftKings this week. If you're going to play someone, play him. Played Travis Hunter, the wide receiver, 7,800. He got 22% of the target share, but scored 46 points. But Judkins is, I think, the play here if you're got some room in your roster to put him in, because I think they're just going to wear down this Tulane and put it on the ground and put arguably the best running back in college football to work this weekend.
I like it, Woj. I don't mind that preamble you had there. In the football game, we got Ole Miss -7.5. You do have that hook if you want to take Ole Miss. You want the money line, you're at -278 for Ole Miss. You're betting 278 to bring back 100 in your pocket. You want the old green wave, +260 over there on FanDuel. Best line right now if you're taking them. Over under of 66.5. And this is what you're mentioning. I saw this on our slate. And I was like, you mentioned how it's going to be a great game. I was thinking in my head, like, this is a game I'm probably not even going to watch. So that just tells you, you know, the differing opinions and what makes college football so exciting. But I see where you're coming with this one. You're a DFS guy. You like the scoring. This is going to have it. You mentioned how close they were to that Oregon-Portland State. They were playing Mercer again. Mercer, Portland State. I mean, these are not – they beat them by 100, you know. It's they're not playing the real football powerhouses week one. I'll just say that. So now that we do have two teams, you know, Tulane, a very respectable program. We're talking about an SEC football team right here that's only giving 7.5 to this Tulane football team. I kind of expected where you're going with this, Woj, to be Mr. Michael Pratt, the quarterback over there on Tulane, because that's probably where I'd go on this one if I had to make a DFS pick.
This is one of the best quarterbacks coming onto this year as far as the NFL draft goes, and he's 8,800. He went 14 for 15 last week with 4 touchdowns. Again, they didn't play much of anything as well, but it is Tulane, the Green Wave. That used to be my high school Green Waves wall.
Oh, I'm glad to know that was your high school Green Wave.
I still think Ole Miss eventually takes care of business here. Lane Kiffin loves playing the villain, going into Tulane and roughing him up a little bit. Questin Judkins is just too good. Jackson Dart manages the game easily. I mean, you're just talking about, we just talked about Pratt. Well, we got to talk about Jackson Dart, who ended up 18 of 23 last week for 334 yards and 4 touchdowns of his own. So, again, this is one of those games that there's going to be a lot of offense. Old Miss does have a pretty good run defense, so Tulane's going to have to watch out about that. It's going to be a good game for me to watch. Well, I love it. I got blood in the game considering year-long fantasy, but we'll see. We'll have to see. Well,
who do you have for year-long fantasy in this one? Dart?
Judkins.
Oh, you do have Judkins. Oh, okay.
I do. He was a keeper.
We'll see. Well, I don't know that I'll disagree with you that, I mean, he might run over this Tulane defense, but I think that Tulane has a shot to stop him. I mean, the thing that's keeping me away, I do think that Ole Miss is better than a 7.5-point spread. In fact, I think they're probably like a 10-point favorite or something. But the thing keeping me away is I don't know why they have this at 7.5. So I'm missing something. So I'm just going to stay away from this game altogether.
All right. I don't think you're going to stay away from this. Well, maybe you will, but you're going to be watching this game. It is the rematch of Texas, Alabama, number 11, Texas at number 3, Alabama, 6 p.m. on ESPN. Wall.
I mean, this is a big game. Last year, you're talking about last year, it was at Texas, though. Let's be fair to Alabama. We're talking about a 1-point football game last year, Woj, in this one. 1-point football game was one of the most, probably that Georgia, Tennessee, you know, that was my favorite game. It wasn't the most exciting, but that Tennessee, Alabama was probably the most exciting game last year. This was a close second, this Texas, Alabama game, because, you know, Texas almost took them down, the mighty Alabama. If we're looking at this one, I'll pull it up here on sportsbettingintel.com. We're looking at Texas plus 7. They're the underdog. You're getting a full touchdown on this one. This is what really strikes me. If I was going to bet Texas on this one, the heck with the points. I don't care about them. Moneyline plus 235. You're getting a pretty good number over there on DraftKings compared to the rest of the market. You want Alabama, you got to put a whole 260 up to bring back 100 at minus 260. And then we're talking about an over-under of 54 in this one, which, you know, puts us a little bit over what it was last year with a final score of 20-19. I don't know. I always guess in my head, like, is Woj going to be taking DFS players? Because I don't know the answer to these questions before we start the program a lot of times anyways. I don't know who you're going to take in this game. Maybe yours if he's at a good number, but I can't think of anybody else aside from the wide receiver you mentioned last week anyways.
Xavier Worthy.
He's only
6,200, by the way, so that's not a bad pick. But Ewers is only 7,000. This is for the night slate, by the way. They're not in the day slate. But Ewers is a good price. He was the guy that got hurt last year, which could have kept Texas from losing. Their run game with Brooks isn't as strong as it was last year. I'll say that, with one of the best running back, well, probably the best running back in college football last year. But Brooks and Blue both about split duties last week. They used a little bit of others, but Baxter's hurt. They used him about 12% of the time. So I don't know. This is a different Texas team going into playing Alabama team. And we were unsure of Alabama because we didn't know about the quarterback, but Milroe seems like he's got the job steady in hand there. He's a dual threat quarterback. Which Alabama hasn't usually mainly gone to as of late. I can't remember any wall, but he is truly a dual threat quarterback. So they're going to use him running as well. So, it's interesting to see. I don't think Alabama has that strong of a run game either. With both of these teams, usually we think of strong run games, and I don't think either team has an incredibly strong run game this year. So it'll be interesting to see which quarterback can kind of get it done for his team and rally behind him. Well,
hey, I'll be cheering for the Longhorns. I'm sure you know that over there. I am a little bit angry with them because I took an alternate line last week, week one, 36.5. They're about to go in and cover with like 3 minutes left in the game. They're in the red zone, which I don't know if you were watching the football game. All of a sudden, I don't know exactly where they were. I think they were around the 17-yard line or something, about to go in and get my cover on that alternate line. I wasn't watching the game because I was at a friend's house who was making me watch a different game. So I was watching on my iPad. All of a sudden, it was like 1st and 30. Then all of a sudden, it was 1st and 40. And I was like, what the hell is going on here? They lost like 50 yards with like 3 straight personal foul penalties or something. They turned the ball over. Rice went down there and scored, and they didn't cover. So I'm a little bit angry with them for that fact. But I do hope we get a good football game. I don't know if you caught the news, but Alabama is going to make the Texas Longhorns marching band sit up in the upper deck. Well, did you hear that news?
I did. I did. I did. I, well, I'll see. I don't know if that I'll be cheering for Alabama, other than some fantasy stuff.
You better not be cheering for Alabama.
I like some.
Why would you cheer for Alabama? You don't like Saban. You just like to say you like Saban.
I don't like Saban, but I do like Xavier Worthy. And I do like Quinn Ewers. I think they those combined in the game could make for a hell of a game. But Alabama's defense is good. We know that. That's never going to change. But like I said, unsure of both teams' running games. And we know what both quarterbacks are capable of. So this will be a pretty good game to see what whatever ends up happening. I think it'll be pretty tight all the way through it, even in at Alabama. A couple other guys I do want to talk to about, Wall, just for DFS purposes, just some kind of diamonds in the rough, you could say. Charles Montgomery or Cade Conley, their wide receiver and tight end for Marshall. So this is one play for Marshall. It's not the only plays for Marshall. We're going to talk about them again. But 4,000 and 4,100, both of these players are cheap. Both of them were targeted seven times last week, which share for the top of the target percentage. Not a huge over-under game, but a close game. East Carolina got torched in the air by Michigan last week, so I honestly don't know if we can even use that as a example. But it's just one of those games where these guys could catch a lot. I like Montgomery a lot here at 4,000. It's cheap. It's just one of those cheap wide receiver options you have. On the other hand, Roman Wilson from Michigan is only 5,400. Okay, this is a guy that got almost 30 points last week in DraftKings and 25% of the target share, which is the most on the team. So by a lot. And Michigan's the top dog here again. I don't know. I kind of like this play. He's cheap. It's like the Devontae Smith from back in the day when he was at or around 6K. Take him. But this is just one of those things where Bell's not there anymore. Ronnie Bell for Michigan, he's gone to the NFL. So now somebody's got to take his place. And it looks like J.J. McCarthy there and Roman Wilson are off to a hot start. You have Purdue with Hudson Card. He's only 6K. They did a lot of running. They have another fairly easy game this week. They lost last week, but Card still did quite a bit with his feet and in the air. Another one from, or here, I got two more for you. Two more, and then we're done. James Madison. I have two players from James Madison, Wall, that you really need to key in on here. You're going to look for Rasheen Ali is your first. That's James Madison. I'm sorry. Yeah, James Madison. Rasheen Ali, which is the running back. Now, they are going up against a Virginia team that got torched on the ground last week for 287 yards, and they gave up five TDs. Rasheen Ali scored 30 points last week against Albany. He had 18 attempts, 137 yards, caught the ball once. He had two touchdowns. It's just one of those cheap plays. Let me find out how much he is this week. Because, I mean, it's just one of those plays that I look to key in on. The other way to do this would be Jordan McLeod, who's 5,000. I'll get Allie's numbers. But he's only 5,000 this week for a game where he could explode. And it's just because he's from James Madison. A lot of people don't know about him. So maybe he won't, you know, pan out in most people's minds, or he'll miss the roster. But this is great tournament because most people aren't going to pick these guys up because they don't even know who they are. Who the hell knows either of those guys? I really didn't know much about either of them going into the kind of doing my research here anyways. But let me find out how much Allie is here for you guys. He is 4,800 on Marshall. Excuse me, I got those wrong. He's from Marshall. James Madison is McLeod. But here's your other side of the Marshall play. Either you go wide receivers or you go Allie at only 4,800. Looking to torch Eastern Carolina. Again, one of those things. You got 70% of the carry load last week, Wall. Who does that remind you of? The old Minnesota games?
You talking about when Ibrahim was healthy? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, when he used to just run it 80% of the time. No other rushing back or running back got a rush. So I would look for him to go ham on for Marshall. I would look for McLeod to go nuts for James Madison. They're cheap guys to get into a game. And if you that gives you, opens up your roster for Judkins, or if you want to take one of the high profile quarterbacks and you're going to need to spend some cheap money somewhere else. Well,
that I don't know what you mentioned how Virginia got torched. Yeah, they played Tennessee week one. James Madison looked good. Yeah, they played Bucknell week one. So we're talking about completely different football games here. I don't know much about James Madison. I do think Virginia will come out and probably win this game straight up. So it's something where I'd probably be putting my money. Purdue game you mentioned, I like Hudson Card. They had a disappointing loss last week. It's unfortunate they couldn't come through with the win. They are underdogs against Virginia Tech. So at that +3 number, you know, Purdue itself, I'll probably be taking them on this spread, probably take them on the money line too at +120. So I kind of like that Hudson Card pick too.
All right. All right. So it's time for Wojnarowski's pick'em for the week, Wall. Last week you win with the hook. East Coastal Carolina lost by 14, but you had them 14.5, Wall. I, on the other hand, got torched. UNC South Carolina second half over at 31.5. I don't think South Carolina scored in the second half. So I got lit up on that one, Wall. This week, where are you heading with your bet?
Well, I do want to say a lot of people are giving, we take a lot of guff, you know, when we do a program like ours, but a lot of people are giving me a lot of guff about that hook last week. And this is what I want to say. You think I take that bet if it's not +14.5 Woj on Coastal Carolina? You think I still take that bet?
I don't know.
No, I don't.
No,
I take that bet because touchdowns. I had the hook.
Yeah, you had the hook with two touchdowns. Yeah, it makes sense.
It's tough to get that flack. But I'll tell you where I'm going to go with this one. And it's, you know, I put your money where your mouth is. I always do that. I'm going to Nebraska, and I'm going to take them +3.5. SportsBettingIntel.com is showing me the best line right now is on BetMGM at +3.5. I actually got them at a worse number, and I put pretty much a full bet size on it. So I can't size up, unfortunately, at 2.5 earlier in the week. So, hey, I'm getting +3.5 on the Wojnarowski pick 'em.
Wall, should I go the other side of that bet? That's a tough one. That's a tough. No, I'm
you
not
can.
Going the other.
If you do, the thing about it is they'll probably beat them by 30. So you look like a genius, which it doesn't matter, you know, as far as sports. A lot of people don't get that. Like, it doesn't matter as far as sports gambling, but you can look like a genius.
Yeah, we're going to go Oregon -6.5 against Texas Tech. Points bets got it. I think -110 from what I can remember. I think Bet Rivers has it at that same number. Looking at SBI for those numbers. Again, if you want to sign up for Sports Betting Intel, look at any of their info, especially their plus EV bets. Please use code Rundown if you want to sign up. But most of that stuff's free too, Wall, isn't it, Wall?
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff over there for free. Check them out. You can get a free account and get a lot of access to free information. If you do want to go for the paid package, please, like Woj said, use that code Rundown. I think the most expensive package over there is $20 or something. So,
yeah, I'm looking at Oregon here to just keep rolling and Bo Nix to keep doing what he does. And for Oregon to be a dominant team this year, they definitely have the offense to do it. We just got to see if their defense can hack it up and if they can get some consistent coaching here and do what they need to do to get work done here. And Bo Nix is, what, 15th year in the college football?
Till next year when he hits 16.
okay. But yeah, that I'm looking forward to Oregon, or at least watching that game, maybe a little closer game, but I do believe they get that done by more than 6.5, Wall.
Sounds good, Woj. It's gonna be another good week. I'm excited for it. Let's go, Hawkeyes.
Woo! Let's go, Hawks. Rundown Nation, thanks for listening to our episode. You can catch all of our podcasts and information on www.collegefootballrundown.com. We have upcoming games. We have SBI information on there. They're a big partner sponsor with us. If you want to sign up to their website, please use code Rundown when you do that. It helps us out. It helps them out as well. But so much good information on that website. So please check them out. Please check our website out. You can catch us on Twitter at WWCFB. Our Instagram is college_football_rundown. Please take a look, take some time. We do our weekly DraftKings League, so make sure to get in on that. All the information for that is on our website. Other than that, I'm Woj.
And I'm Wall.
And we are now definitely out. Thank you for listening.